Jetzt hat gefühlt.
Good evening, Shkoyach. Thank you everyone for coming and for giving me the privilege of coming here again. It's always a big schus. So the Maisa is a fresh Maisa. There was a Chasna, Manchester Chasna, last week in Holland, and there were two Bochrim who went there, who travelled, they're friends of the Chosin, and they booked a room in a hotel. And it turned out that they managed to get access, that they managed to book a room in the hotel where the actual Chasna was taking place. So they decided, you know what, we're going to book another room in the hotel where the Chasna is taking place. Much more geschmack, we'll be closer to the Chasna. When it's finished, stroll straight into bed. And they had an empty hotel room in the other hotel, which they no longer needed. And these two friends, they wanted to try and get a refund on their old hotel room, which they no longer needed, since they were going to be spending the night in the hotel where the chasna is taking place. It just so happens they had a friend. And this friend, he came to Holland without a hotel, but was planning to book one once he arrived. So they travelled together to the hotel. They were planning to try, the two friends, Reuven and Shimon, who initially booked the hotel, they wanted to try and get a refund. And they took him there, so maybe he'll try and get his own hotel room there. And they couldn't get a refund for the hotel room. So they just said to their friend, Reuven and Shimon said to Levi, hey, come and stay in my room. So you've got a story of Reuven and Shimon, who both booked a hotel room, they no longer needed it, and they offered it to their friend, Levi, and said to Levi, Levi, would you like to stay in our hotel room? Yeah, everyone's clear on the story? Simple story. Next morning, Reuven wakes up, and he phones me up. He said, Lemaisa, we want to charge Levi for staying in our hotel room. Can we charge Levi for staying in our hotel room? So, what do you think? Can they charge? They never discussed anything about money beforehand.
He was going to book anyways.
Oh, so you're saying he's a person who wants to rent. That's a very, very important point. He's a person who was happy to rent in the first place. Very important point. That he's a gavra, the Ovid Lamega. He's a person who generally was happy to rent. But is that enough? Is that enough in this situation that just because Levi was happy initially to pay for a room in a hotel, does that make it that the next day, even though they never discussed anything initially about paying, is that enough of a reason or enough of a grounds to be mechayev the fact that he was a person who was willing to pay initially? So that's what I want to discuss this evening, this shaila. Now, the first thing that I think what we need to address is what was said in the sign. Is a person allowed to sublet in the first place? Can a person sublet? Let's say you rent a house. Can you sublet that house which you rent to a third party instead of you? Is that mutter?
Without rishus and balabos, of course, quite rich.
Oh, so you're saying that without rishus, the balabos doesn't know who these people are. Who says he trusts? Yeah? So it's a good, very good swar. Anyone else got any?
These two books, they only booked the one name. One name, two people.
Oh, Kobe, it's a very important point that you're saying. We'll see, maybe that comes up.
When it does, not allowed to charge more than the price of the original let.
Why wouldn't he be allowed to?
Because otherwise it brings the prices up.
Oh, she says it's not good for the market, for the rental market. Okay.
Yes.
In Holland as well? The story took place in Holland. Yeah. No, so we're talking about... So we've got a very harsh of a point that you're saying that ain't a sure rational hashel. And generally, when it comes to items, then a person is not allowed to pass on. If a shomer is looking after something, he can't pass that on to another shomer to look after it instead, because there's two reasons the Gemara gives. One is because a person doesn't trust the other person. That I don't want my item, which I've entrusted it in your hands, for you to suddenly put it in someone else's hands. Who says I trust the other person? There's another reason that if I put it in your hands, then it means I trust you with the Shvur, but doesn't necessarily mean that I trust this other random person with the Shvur. The Gemara discusses that. But there's a very, very big difference between metaltalim, movable object, and karka, and batim. That the Rambam explains that the difference is that when it comes to a house or karka, the reason why, shockingly enough, you are allowed to sublet is because there's no chashash. The person's not going to run away anywhere. Where's he going to take your house? Where's he going to take your field? When it comes to an item, a horse, maybe a car, or when it comes to a phone or something, then you can understand there's a huge chashash that the person might run off with it. Therefore, the Rambam says that is the difference between a movable object and a karka and a house, that the basic law is, the basic halacha rather, not law, the basic halacha is that a person can sublet. Now, it sounds quite shocking. Well, you can sublet, I didn't know who it is and who's in there. It's a very interesting point. Yeah.
Who would be responsible for any damages caused? The one who's initially let, or the one who is subletted to?
So it's a very good point. And in the event, so normally, if there's proof that, depends how the damage was caused. Yeah. If the damage was caused in a way that it was an oinos, and that's provable, then since it's not considered a negligent thing to pass it on to a third party, then neither one of them is going to be chayav. If it's something that the first one, but it depends on the situation, depends what the damage and why the damage was caused. But if you're allowed to give it on to a third party, then the third party can be dealt with and he can be claimed off, and the first person, the owner of the house, can go to him and claim the money off him, no problem. There's many discussions about what would be in a situation where the third person is out of the picture and is refusing to pay. Does the second person have to pick up where he left off, since he put him in that situation? So it all depends on the situation, how the damage occurred, why it occurred, is the third person cooperating? It depends on the situation. But it's a very good point about who bears the responsibility. But generally, the general practice is going to be that if you're allowed to do something, you're allowed to set up the fact that a third person is allowed to take over, then it would be assumed that if you're allowed to put him in place, then he can continue with the responsibility. Okay. But it's a very good point. So now, there's something very, very very important that we need to think about in a hotel room. What in a hotel room, what does a hotel room consist of? Consists of a house, a room, but there's also movable objects. So what do you do in a situation where there's a combination? We just said that the baseline halacha is that a person can sublet a house or land. So would that allow us to have a furnished property? Could you sublet a furnished property? So the place can say you cannot sublet a furnished property due to the fact that the furniture, this risk, is there, and therefore it would be restricted to unfurnished properties where the furniture belongs to the seicha, the renter, and then he's got the rights to put his own items at risk, and he can take that risk if he would like to, or in a situation where you request permission, and that'll be obvious. But I think, can anyone think of a chiluk, why in a hotel that might not be an issue? Anyone got a good argument why in a hotel it might not make a difference?
It's for that night.
Yeah, but we're not worried about the payment. You pay £56 for a room in a hotel for the night. You've got furniture in there, it's worth thousands. Oh. So what's the achrayas? Yeah, it's meant for guests. But there's another point, that often when you go to a hotel, they might have taken your ID, your credit card. So therefore, with regards to yeah. So that might be a good argument to say that when it comes to a hotel, it might be slightly different. But what would be an argument against that? What would be a good reason to say that even though it's a hotel, and even though you've given your ID in, and even though you've given your credit card in, there's still a reason why the hotel might not want you to sublet?
Because they only know you, they don't know him. You're the one who came along and applied for it, so yes, you
they
don't mind.
They know you when you applied online.
Even still.
So what risks? Has anyone ever heard of how some people treat hotel rooms? How some people treat, let's say, the towels in hotel rooms, the shampoos, the soaps, the many different movable objects? If the hotel room would be left empty, someone even told me that it could be that hotels set up their business model that maybe there's 5% that don't actually turn up, And therefore, they wouldn't be happy in that 5% to have someone being replaced and someone actually coming there and putting it at risk for all these other things that, even though they don't generally come and claim the money off you if you take a shampoo, it doesn't mean it's mutter. And therefore, it doesn't mean that you can automatically assume, just because they've got your ID or your credit card, that they'd be happy to bear the risk and to bear the possible risk out there for you to put someone else in place. So that is a strong argument to say that at the moment it's osa to sublet a hotel room, because right now what have you done? You've put it at risk and there's metaltel in there, and you're not allowed to. Now you raised the point. You said straight away that you can't sublet. Who said you can't sublet? Now that opinion is very much, from what I've seen in the poskim, seems to be the consensus of how landlords structure their contracts. They put inside the contracts. I even saw in one of the poskim, they said that most contracts of tenancy have in their clause that you cannot sublet. So some poskim take this a step further, and they say, but imagine if it doesn't say this clause. Now sometimes we have in Hilchos Shtaros a situation where a clause which is generally put in and it was left out, you can assume it was left out by mistake. So some places can go to such an extent that even if it doesn't say a clause inside the contract that you can't sublet, you can't assume that he's happy to, you have to assume that you're not allowed to. And this would restrict, very, very much restrict people. And now I've tried to research hotels, the terms and conditions of hotels, to know if they state explicitly you cannot sublet it, and I couldn't find, maybe it's due to the filter, I couldn't find the terms and conditions of a hotel. So there is arguments about this. Rabbi Kanievsky actually says that he doesn't agree to this line of thought, this line of reasoning, and Rabbi Kanievsky says that if it doesn't say in the shtar, then you can ignore it and you can sublet. Now another huge chiddush on this point, yeah. So they might not be bothered who's in the room, but we said that once you've taken it, they might be happier that it lies empty instead of you making just some of your money back. Once you've rented the hotel room and you're not going to be there, what would you think they're happier about? To leave it empty or to have another person there?
Saves them a job cleaning it.
Oh, so there's a lot of benefits for them for it to stay empty. Therefore, we can't assume, because we're working with a very tough svarah. We're working with the fact that we're trying to find a reason why even the metaltelin in the room, they would be happy to put it at risk. When generally the baseline is that if there's metaltelin involved, you b'chlal can't sublet. So we're saying a huge chiddush that maybe the metaltelin you'd be allowed to due to a special svarah that they've got your ID or your credit card. That was a suggestion, but we backtrack from that. But there's one major nakuda, which sounds very harsh, which has come out from what we just said, that seems like we're being very machmir, that a lot of poskim are going to be very, very machmir, and they won't allow you to sublet, even if the contract doesn't say clearly that you can't sublet. And a lot of people, they live in Eretz Yisrael, and they have diras, and they come back for Yom Tov, and they want to sublet their house. Does that restrict them? Does that mean that they can't? They're going to have to pay rent, and they can never sublet it even for a short amount of time. So some places can say, no. The clause was only meant to restrict a tenant from bringing a person who's going to come in and completely take over the contract. But for a very short-term subletting, that, even if it says clearly in the contract that you can't sublet, some landlords, if there's any landlords in the room, might not want to hear this. But even if it says clearly in the contract, some places can say that that's only talking about a long-term subletting. A short-term, you can do, even without consent of the landlord.
What's the story of the chiluk?
Of the chiluk?
Yeah.
That the, I'm just trying to recall, what's the story of that chiluk? That the bailim doesn't want to be dealing with, potentially dealing with someone who he doesn't know for such a long period of time. If he's going to be coming back to the dira, the person who initially dealt with, then maybe he's going to still have some level of achrayas and tipple in the dira, and that's going to give it enough of a. I think maybe that was the svara. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, but shkoyach. That's a very important point. That there is still a heta, even if it says in the clause in the contract. Now, what would you think? Do you think we can stretch this onto a hotel, onto the metaltalin? That, do you think, just like we've said, that there's an issue with a long-term sublet, but with a short-term we could be more makel? Do you reckon that by a short-term we could be more makel when it comes to metaltalin? That's going to be a very important point, but that's good for what we're asking. In a short-term lease or short-term rental, whatever it is, if you give it over to someone else for a very short amount of time, have you reduced the risk of him running off with it? The shorter someone has something in his hands, the less time he has to run away with it, even though it only takes a moment for him to run away with it. But in time span, you have reduced the risk slightly. So maybe, do you think we could stretch it over and say that for a short-term lease, then you would be allowed to Efsha rent out the metaltalin? Doesn't sound like anyone's convinced that you should be allowed to. I also don't think that you're allowed to. I mean, stomach, you can't stretch this chiddush and say that even on a short term you should be allowed to get away with renting out the metaltalin. Now, the next very important nakuda we have to address is that this hotel was owned by a non-Jewish person. Does that make any difference? Does it make any difference? Should you be allowed to be more makel? So some poskim say that you're allowed shoel shelo midas from a Jewish person to a Jewish person, you would be called a gazlan. But shoel shelo midas to a non-Jewish person would actually be mutter. But we're talking about for him to go now and take this metaltalin and pass it on further to a tenant which he wants to put in place. Would that be permitted? Because we don't need to deal with the karka. With the karka, we've got an eitzah, because we can assume if it doesn't say in the clause, in the contract, then you can pass on the karka. But with regards to the metaltalin, can the fact that you can do a shol shelo midas, because it's a non-Jewish hotel, will that aid the situation over here? So that could be a big help to explain why the yid would be able to rent out the goy's furniture in the hotel room. But there's one final point which we need to get to, is the fact that nothing was discussed. All the two bachrim who rented out the hotel room, all they did was they said, do you want to stay here? Do you want to take over the hotel? Do you want to stay in the hotel? They never said, we want to charge you X, Y, and Z. Now, is that...
It's common sense. If you stay in the hotel, you have to pay, just like they pay. Just actually, you not pay. If it's a private house, I can understand. But in a hotel has to be paid.
So Lamaisa...
There's no free rooms in a hotel.
Lamaisa, it's a machloikas. It's a machloikas. Machloikas between the Tashbats and the Mariach. And it's a machloikas. One opinion holds that if you wanted to charge, you should have said...
Beforehand.
Should have said before. And the other opinion says, no, you don't need to. Therefore, if it's a machloikas, what do we do in a situation when there's a machloikas? So in a situation where there's machloikas like this, then the Chasam Sofer and the Shach both say that it's a sveikah d'dina. In a situation of a sveikah d'dina, whoever's a muchzak will be able to hold on to the money. So if the sofer's not yet paid, then he wouldn't have to pay. And if the two bochim somehow have any money of the person who's staying there, who stayed there, then he would be able to hold on to it. There's only one catch. The only one catch is that it has to be that the person was the type of person who wanted to rent. But you pointed out, this guy was a person who wanted to rent. But it also has to be that a hotel room is Omad Lahaskir. It's Kaima Lagra. Hotel room has to be, is a hotel room Kaima Lagra? What's Kaima Lagra mean? That it's up for rent. Do people rent out their hotel rooms generally when they're not staying there? Is that something that people do? So you're saying it's not such a... So the post can say that it's only sveika d'dina if it's something which is normally up for rent, which you'd probably have to see in that town, that place, those people, if it's taka something which is kaima l'agra, and therefore if it's not kaima l'agra, then he wouldn't be able to hold onto the money even if he's tofas, and he would have to give it back. And so in just to be masakam, what we've said, it's going to be a sofik, and in a situation of a sofik, whoever's muksa can hold the money, unless it's clear that the hotel room is not Kaimala Agra, and that would mean he would have to give the money back, even by Mark of Sofik. Shkoyach. I heard you wanted... not everything. You want to pay a bit.
Amen.
Amen.